Keep an eye on the affirmative action case that's being argued at the Supreme Court this week. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. The Supreme Court is set to take up the case of race as a factor in college admissions this week, with oral arguments tomorrow. A woman says she was rejected from the University of Texas because she is white. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
This is the second time the High Court will hear the case of Abigail Fisher versus the University of Texas. 2 years ago, justices sent the case back to a lower court for a stricter look at the university's admissions program, which takes race into account, among other factors. That court sided with the university, and Fisher appealed.
The justices agreed to take the case, which is really concerning news for supporters of affirmative action.
Richard Collenberg with the Century Foundation says a ruling could apply to any college or university that accepts federal funding. The Cato Institute's Ilya Shapiro says with Justice Elena Kagan abstaining, the Supreme Court is likely to be split, with Justice Anthony Kennedy casting the deciding vote.
Notably, Justice Kennedy has never voted for a particular affirmative action program, but he's also never closed the door on using racial preferences altogether.
What he does this time may not be known until close to the end of the term, next June. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Another story we're following, the huge global mining company Anglo American is cutting nearly two-thirds of its jobs worldwide, 85,000 people. If you miss our coverage of this on the air, it'll be in the Marketplace Midday podcast later. Airport security screeners could be working without a contract by midweek. TSA employees are not allowed to strike. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more on why morale at the TSA is low.
Congress sets the pay for TSA baggage screeners, so the American Federation of Government Employees Union and TSA are negotiating on things like uniforms. Heidrick Thomas is one of the union's negotiators. He says morale is at rock bottom, partly because messages to screeners get garbled as they make their way through layers of management.
The deputy director have meetings with the deputies. The deputies have meetings with the managers. The managers have meetings with supervisors.
The TSA is part of the Department of Homeland Security. Morale across DHS is low. Paul Light teaches public service at New York University. He says the problem is the way DHS was created after the 9/11 attacks, when 22 federal agencies were mushed together.
This is a merger that has failed. It's not unlike the Compaq Hewlett-Packard merger. And sometimes the way you deal with this kind of merger failure is to break it up.
Light says that would be one way to improve morale. TSA didn't get back to us in time for comment. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
I don't know if you heard it, but yesterday I was talking with the producer of Hamilton, the Broadway blockbuster about the first U.S. Secretary of the Treasury. Now, if you wanted to see the show anytime soon, you'd have to get tickets on the resale market, and those are going for between about $400 and $1,000 a seat. Well, the Rockefeller Foundation is helping to fund $10 tickets for New York City public high school students to get in to see this musical history lesson. The president of Rockefeller came by to tell us more. Judith Roden, good morning to you.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Good. So what's the thought here? You're helping to subsidize tickets for whom?
There are 20,000 young people in 11th grade, largely in 11th grade, because that's when they study American history. And these are students who are in overwhelmingly Title I schools, meaning they are receiving either partial or full federally funded school lunches. We wanted those students in particular. It's a population that's incredibly diverse, to see versions of themselves in the individuals who built this country. The actors are African-American and Hispanic, largely. But we think this population would never have had the opportunity to see it otherwise.
There's probably also something to be said for being in a darkened room, focusing your attention in one direction. I mean, presumably you can't have the smartphones on when you're at the theater. It's rare in modern life for something to get our undivided attention for a moment, but that's what this thing can do.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We fought for these ideals, we shouldn't settle for less. These are wise words, enterprising men quote them. Don't act surprised, you guys, because I wrote them. Ow! But Hamilton...
To have to give your undivided attention and to be riveted is really quite extraordinary. And the grant that we've made, both for the tickets and the curriculum, is essentially a small down payment towards creating the next generation of historians and artists and singers and musicians. And Rockefeller is so committed to expanding opportunity for more people. And we think this is such a compelling way to do that among the other ways we do it.
You're still okay, Judith, with encouraging people to go into the humanities? I was just seeing this petulant little piece in the Wall Street Journal the other day, which found that people who went to elite liberal arts colleges weren't making all that much money after 10 years compared to people who went to fancy research universities. And you want them to become historians?
Well, fancy universities, research universities also have historians. I think you know that I was at Yale and I was the president of the University of Pennsylvania, and I believe deeply in all of the disciplines being nurtured. This is a way to inspire yourself to learn more. I think the chancellor of the New York Public Schools and I would feel that one of the success metrics of this was if more of these students, after seeing it, went into AP history. So we think it's expanding minds, and that's what our American democracy needs.
Judith Rodin at the Rockefeller Foundation, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, David. Good to talk to you.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.